it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past 6 years, we have been talking on the show about the importance of understanding who we are as human beings. And I always explain it as like a four-legged stool or a table that you want to keep it in balance. It's not very comfortable if you're sitting on a stool that's wobbly, or if you're eating at a table that keeps moving every time you put your cup down or something else. And, you know, you reach underneath and you put a pack of sugar to level it up so that it handles your food more appropriately. And so our lives are like that. So we are physical, we are emotional, we're spiritual, and we're intellectual. And keeping all that in balance, in my estimation, is what gives you your best life. I've worked with so many people as a therapist for the last 40 years. And a lot of times their lives are wonderful in, let's say, the physical realm. I've worked with the Green Bay Packers. And so you have all of these wonderful young athletes, and they're just, you know, terrific in terms of their bodies. But they have all this anxiety because their careers can be gone in a second with an injury, or if they don't please a certain coach, they can be, you know, let go. So they always have that anxiety and maybe a little depression that goes along with that. Certainly, I tell people I want to be learning something until I take my last breath. And at that point, I hope I'm learning like, oh my God, there is another side. There really is. And it'll just be fun, you know, to move in that transition from the physical into the spiritual plane, because I know it exists. I'm absolutely convinced that it, you know, is there. But we also need to keep our emotions in balance, and we need to probably be looking at that spiritual connection, which is why I have Mark Anthony back with me, because he's the expert there, and he can help you understand this transition that I'm talking about, that our loved ones, when they do die, it's not the end by any stretch of the imagination. It is just not the end. It's kind of, in some ways, the beginning, because there is this transition and they see things very differently than when they're in their physical body. That vibrational frequency changes. So when you go to my website, which is synergyconnectionradio.com, there's way over 400 shows there now. Mark has been with me, I think, on maybe 5 different shows at this point. And so you can find him scattered throughout the pages of shows. Just look for his name. There's always a synopsis with every show that tells you a little bit about what the show is, so that that intrigue causes you to click the button and listen to whoever my guest is. I also want to remind people that the physical part of who we are is so incredibly important, because if you do not have physical health, again, in my estimation, you can probably kiss goodbye to the rest of it. You have to be healthy physically in order to kind of line up with the rest of this. So if you click on Boomers Forever Young, they have their logo there. You can click there and go in and look at their products. And I want to tell you about one that I've been using for, well, since March. And it's called Myotrol. So it's Myotrol. The inventor came to this small company in St. Petersburg, Florida, and he wanted us to represent him. So Myotrol is nothing short of amazing. I know one person in particular who was diagnosed 20 years ago with fibromyalgia. There is no cure for that. It's an autoimmune deficiency. After taking it for a month, she didn't have any more symptoms, and they've never come back. There are people that have cancer, that have really bad arthritis, that have memory fog. It does different things for different people. And the products are 60 days guaranteed. So you have nothing to lose to order a bottle of Myotrol and try it for yourself. It's an anti-aging, regenerative capsule. It looks a lot like omega-3, and you can read about it if you go on the website. You can click on the videos, you can look at it, but I love it. It has provided tremendous stamina for me. I'm a very busy person, and I used to get tired, and I really don't get tired much anymore. So it's stamina, it's strength, it's for heart protection, it can give you better sleep. It helps to reduce the risk of diabetes. We have a lot of pre-diabetic people in the world today because of weight. Certainly, I don't want to say that it's a weight loss, but it makes you move. It kind of gets you moving off the couch. So if you're moving more, you're naturally going to burn more calories. As a result, I think you will probably lose weight. And a lot of people are telling me, at least, that they aren't as hungry. And so all of those things are just super positive. So check it out. Again, the name is Myotrol, Myotrol. And watch the videos and see what you think. And if you decide you want to try a bottle, please put my first name, Lucy, into the discount code box, and you'll get 15% off of your order. So take advantage of that offer and check it out. All right, so I have Mark back with me today, and we are going to have a fun topic here. We're going to be talking about Halloween and the Day of the Dead, and where all this originated. I kind of looked it up, and it's interesting because there is a tremendous amount of historical information on the Day of the Dead. I mean, it's been around a long time, but I didn't know that. It's Halloween. Now, my husband died on Halloween. Did you know that, Mark?
I was not aware of that. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he died on Halloween. This year, it'll be 7 years ago.
Wow.
And he died an hour and 15 minutes before it was All Souls Day. And when I was reading this background for that, it said that children in particular, on the Day of the Dead, which is they start celebrating like on Halloween. So if you died on Halloween, children are able to come back for that 24 hours, they believe, and be with their families. Whereas adults have to kind of wait until November 1st and 2nd, to come back. And I thought that was really interesting because Halloween has always been my favorite holiday. And when my husband died on Halloween, I was kind of miffed at him. I said, couldn't you have waited another hour and 15 minutes? Because my birthday is actually on the 29th. And so I'm very close to everybody has said, oh, maybe you have some witch characteristics. And I thought, not a witchy kind of person, but maybe a can bewitch you. Possibly. And so I don't know. I just found all of that super interesting. So, anyways, how did Halloween even get started? And the Day of the Dead, from your perspective, what do you see?
Well, let's start with Halloween. It dates back to 5th century, the British Isles, and they used to have a festival called Samhain. And so there were three main harvests at the time in the British Isles and in northern France. The first was Lammas. And that's the bread harvest, which occurred in August. Then there was Mabon, which is the fruit and wine harvest of September. But the most important was what they referred to as the blood meat harvest, which was Samhain. And that occurred between October 31st and November 2nd. You have to look at it. We're talking about the Dark Ages. People were terrified of winter because you could starve to death. And so having three bountiful harvests, at the end of summer and into autumn was extremely important for surviving. And throughout the world, there's all these cultures that always occur in the northern hemisphere anyway, and in the southern hemisphere it'd be, the opposite. But in the northern hemisphere, whenever we're on the borderline between autumn and winter, there are celebrations of spirits. So it has a highly symbolic meaning as well. And
people believed that during Samhain, spirits of the departed would rise and walk the earth. And as the Roman Empire spread into the British Isles or invaded the British Isles, and as the Roman Empire transitioned from being the ancient Greco-Roman religion into Christianity, Christians began to look at Samhain as a festival of darkness and as venerating evil and the devil, simply because people feared what they didn't understand. So there became this balance between the ancient world and then the medieval era of Christianity. So that's how Halloween began to arrive. And we have a lot of traditions with Halloween. Jack-o'-lanterns. Well, in the Dark Ages Britain, they didn't have pumpkins, but what people used to do is they would carve gourds, scary faces and gourds, and they put them in front of their homes to scare away evil spirits. And this got carried through Gothic architecture. Think of gargoyles on churches. You know, gargoyles, these scary looking, creatures, but they're not the bad guys. They're sort of the bouncers at the front door, okay? Gargoyles were designed to scare away evil spirits. So this thought of Halloween and warding off negative spirits certainly spread throughout Europe.
Cool, very cool. And yeah, I've always been interested in those on buildings because you see them in a lot of the old architectures in major cities. It's right at the entrance. So they were there to keep the negative energy out, maybe.
Yeah, they were, and these type of human animal hybrid entities have existed for thousands of years. Look at the ancient Egyptian gods; so many of them were human animal hybrids. Like Thoth was the ibis-headed god. Horus could appear as a falcon or a falcon-headed god. Sobek was a crocodile-headed god, so on and so forth. And then when you got into the Greco-Roman religions, think of the god Pan, who was a satyr. He was half man, half goat. Of course, they had mermaids. They had centaurs, which were half human and half horse. So this animal-human hybrid supernatural being is certainly not a new thing, and it's part of all the cultures. And you see this in Asia, and certainly in India and in Thailand, definitely in the indigenous cultures of the Western Hemisphere. So these are very universal concepts. And what's the most fun part when you're a kid of Halloween, Lucy?
I think dressing up in costumes, personally.
Exactly, trick or treat.
Yeah.
But where that came from was during Samhain, young men would dress up in animal skins and they'd get grotesque masks and they'd go around trying to scare away the evil spirits and they'd go door to door to people's houses to scare away sinister specters. And homeowners would give these young men little sweet cakes to thank them.
Oh,
And
sure.
so over the centuries, this started evolving into Halloween costumes, jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treat. And when the pilgrims came to the New World, the pilgrims, it's funny because when I was a kid, they're always venerated. Oh, the pilgrims. Basically, the pilgrims were religious fanatics that England couldn't wait to get rid of. All right. So they granted them land, shipped them off to shipped them off to the New World. Well, they were considered a real problem, and so they gave them land in the New World because, I mean, they were repressive about everything. And the pilgrims looked at Halloween as a Catholic holiday, and a Catholic holiday was bad, and so they tried to suppress this, which they didn't. And then by the 1920s, Halloween and capitalism melded and turned into the Halloween costume parties, trick-or-treating that we know even to this day. But speaking of Catholics, Farther to the south in Central America, in the early 1500s, Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes invaded Central America. And anyone that's studied history, we know about Cortes and the conquistadors. And so they invade Mexico. And unfortunately, Montezuma, the emperor of the Aztec Empire, thought if he would send gold to the Spaniards, that would get them to go away. Well, what that did is, intensified their lust for treasure. And when the Spanish came to the capital city of the Aztecs, they were horrified when they witnessed Aztec human sacrificial rituals. Those beautiful pyramids we see, and the Mayans did the same thing, where the Aztecs would literally rip someone's heart out. And they would fill this giant bowl up with fresh hearts every day. Well, yeah, all the gold was incentive enough for the Spaniards to invade, but now this was clearly a case of devil worship. So now they had God on their side. Long story short, the Spaniards subjugated the Aztec Empire, and eventually the Mayans, and eventually they penetrated into the great Inca Empire of South America. But the Spanish Catholics, because when the Spaniards came to Central America, in Europe, the Inquisition was going on. Now, the Inquisition was a special office in the Catholic Church, which was to suppress heresy. And it, of course, was used to suppress a lot of things. Islam, Judaism, anybody that didn't agree with the Catholic Church. And so when the conquistadors came to Central and South America, they had a legion of Catholic priests and officials with them, many of which were inquisitors. Okay, when an inquisitor showed up, that was usually not a good thing because they're always looking for a reason to have somebody executed so that then they could seize all their wealth and property. Well, the Spanish figured, all right, we defeated the Aztecs, we got rid of their devil-worshipping religion. Or so they thought, because then they came face to face with Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And the Aztecs had a really fascinating belief that death was not the end of life, but the continuation of life in another plane of existence. And for the Native Americans, life was a dream, and only through death did one truly awaken. Well, the mortified Spanish saw this dream as a nightmare. And even though the Catholic Church and the Spanish army stamped out human sacrificial rituals, the Day of the Dead was another matter. And what it was, the Aztecs wanted to worship their ancestors who had passed. And that's why the skull is a symbol, because the skulls of ancestors were displayed. So over time, the Catholic Church reached a deal with the Aztecs and the Mayans. They said, you can do this Day of the Dead, but only on this one day of the year. Well, actually, it's November 1st and 2nd. So there's a blending of ancient Mesoamerican beliefs with November 1st, which is All Saints' Day, and November 2nd, which is All Souls Day. And it worked. And it spread throughout Central and South America, but also to Spain, the Philippines, and parts of the US. I mean, if you go to Tucson or Phoenix for a Day of the Dead celebration, I mean, talk about the Halloween party of parties. And the skull is very important. The sugar skulls are also very important because you eat the sugar skulls and you're communing with your ancestors by doing that. And so
Oh,
that's where,
taking First Communion.
yeah. So
I
you
said
get
almost like taking First Communion.
exactly. So you get Halloween, which was All Hallows Eve, and Hallows are saints. So it was the night before the Hallows, which are saints. You have Halloween. You have Hallow, which is All Saints Day, and then All Souls Day. And so the three of those melded and became basically Dia de los Muertos. and a celebration of fun and frolic. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, I've been to Halloween celebrations, and religious people are out there screaming Bible verses, how this is evil. And I've yet to be to a Halloween party where anyone was sacrificing a black cat or engaging in a black ritual. It's basically just a party where folks put on costumes and have some fun for a night. But I guess there's, no matter what you do, you're going to have somebody complaining about it.
No, that's very true. In fact, I remember not recently, but I would say in the last maybe 10 years ago, there was quite a bit of information about if you have a black cat, make sure that you keep them in the house because people were targeting them and trying to kill them intentionally because they felt like they represented evil.
Not only that, there are people who are Satanists who take a black cat to sacrifice as part of a black mass. So, I mean, there are people who do these things, and yes, I know we have freedom of religion, but come on, these poor, leave these poor kitty cats alone.
Exactly. Have you been involved in one of these kind of celebrations yourself? I mean, been there, watched what was going on?
When I was in the Andes Mountains of South America some years ago, I was studying the Quechua culture. And the Quechua are the descendants of the Incas. In fact, Quechua is the language that the Incas spoke. And so I'm in Peru, and we're in a town by the name of Ollantaytambo. And the people, the Quechua natives of Ollantaytambo, are very proud of their culture and their heritage because they actually defeated the Spanish. The Spanish attacked Ollantaytambo, and the Incas beat them off there. All right, so they have this whole, hey, we were never conquered. And it's a beautiful city. Some of the houses, the roads are over 500 years old. The beautiful stonework on the roads, and there's these drainage ditches that run stonework that run along the road that the Incas built over 500 years ago that still work perfectly, and it was amazing. So they sell this corn there. They grill this corn because this is also part of what's known as the Sacred Valley. It's one of the most fertile places agriculturally on Earth. And the ears of corn are only about maybe 6 inches long, but they have these gigantic kernels, most delicious corn I've ever eaten. And they would grill it. And so we met this woman who was grilling corn, but I kind of knew there was more to her than that. She invited us into her home. So I was there with a friend and with our translator. And Lucy, when we walked into her home, there, and it was easily a good 400 or 500 years old. So this stone house, and we opened up, and there was a hearth, and some little kids were playing on the floor, and what looked like her parents and grandparents were there. And I stopped dead in my tracks, pun intended, because above the hearth were human skulls.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I mean, like right there in the living room. And she said that these are our ancestors. And I remember saying, is this like Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead? And she laughed and she said, here, every day is the Day of the Dead. And it was really cool. Once I got past the, oh my God, they look at it as being close to their loved ones who've passed, and the spirits of their loved ones watch over them. So they don't look at it as a creepy thing. But it was pretty intense. And the thing is, skulls are very important in this belief system because they represent death and rebirth. The afterlife to the indigenous cultures of Central and South America, the afterlife is just as important as life in our material world. The celebration of these skulls, which are kept indoors most of the year, is believed to have its roots in the Ura Chipaya custom of disinterring bodies of loved ones on the 1 year anniversary of their death. And you know how you see, like, when the belief about if children die on Halloween that they would rise up, you can start seeing how a lot of these beliefs have been interconnected. So they have these skulls there because the spirits of their ancestors watch over them. So, yeah, I was part of a Dia de los Muertos, but I wasn't expecting it. I mean, I was thinking more along the lines of a party like they have in Tucson, but this was the real thing.
You know what I was thinking when the children would be playing, on the floor. Again, that because I talk so much about vibrational frequencies, the frequency in that room would have been amazing, I would think, because I don't know. I believe that the energy, when they say that their loved ones are watching over them, it would be like having guardian angels in a way in that room all the time.
That's how they look at it. We look at skulls as well. Think about how we use skulls as a sign for poison, sign for death. And they look at it as a connection between this world and the world yet to come. So they look at it very differently. And that's why in Dia de los Muertos, the skull is an important symbol. So they look at it very differently. We look at it as scary. They don't. This is a celebration. It's like Disney did that animated movie Coco a couple of years back, and Coco was exploring the afterlife. And I was really impressed that that Disney brought this belief system into the mainstream.
That's true. That is very true. And, again, my thinking is that the soul is, we think of the soul as being part of our, not necessarily our brain, but it occupies space within our head and in our heart. That connection, heart coherence, if you will, connection. And as a result, the skull itself would be symbolic of where the soul resides. And so maybe, believing that their loved ones are with them, that is a representation of being the skull. And I've seen them decorated in just beautiful ways, and now if you're in, like you said, Arizona, New Mexico, places like that, they really go all out to decorate the skulls.
Yes.
Yeah, they really do. Well, our show is over. And again, we could probably talk for hours, and we have in a way over time, but it's always in short little segments. Where are you going to be? I know you mentioned you're going to be in Florida in the Tampa area. So why don't you tell people that might be listening where they could find you in person? And then I always have the link to how to get in touch with you as well.
Certainly, I'm going to be conducting an evening of spirit communication, where I will be connecting random audience members with their loved ones in spirit. And that's going to be on November 8th at the Unity of Tampa. The Unity of Tampa is a spiritual community, and it's located at 2610 Silver Lake Road in Tampa. If you'd like to find out more about this, I invite everyone to sign up for my newsletter. At my website, afterlifefrequency.com. You can also go to the calendar of events on my website. You'll see all the spirit communication events I have coming up. But, Lucy, since your show's based in Florida, I wanted to let everyone know that at the Unity of Tampa on November 8th, I'll be conducting a spirit communication event. And I like to invite everyone to check it out by visiting my website, afterlifefrequency.com. Also, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, I co-host The Psychic and the Doc. And my co-host is Dr. Pat, world-renowned behavioral psychologist. People call in, I'll do a reading for them, and then Dr. Pat helps them understand the significance of the messages. We just won Best Radio Show of the Year. And Lucy, I'd like to get you as our guest on The Psychic and the Doc. I think you and Dr. Pat would hit it off really well.
That would be great fun, actually. Well, thank you again so much. And I know at least two people that I'm pretty sure are going to be at your event in November here. I don't think it'll be very far for them to go. And they've been listening to your show through my show. They may have signed up for other things as well, but I will be sure to let them know about this. And you'll be back with me the day before Valentine's Day, so February 13th, and maybe we'll do something on loved ones that have passed over, or I don't know, something like that. It'd be fun.
I think we should. So
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, thank you for being my guest again, and everybody, please go out there and make this your very best life. We'll be back again next week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.